You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. To the Shine Lord Radio Show, right here on We Talk Radio Network.
Kids are making angels in the snow, magic tricks by Uncle Joe. You can feel the love in the air, family coming in from everywhere. Grandma sitting in a favorite chair, with a halo of silver hair, with a smile lighting up the room. So sad Grandpa's gone too soon. This is why Christmas is my favorite time of year. Oh, chocolate smells fill the room. Kids are waiting just to lick the spoon. We forgot something at the store. Santa's ringing bells outside the door. Even though the baby's only three, she gets to put the star up on the tree. Sweet potato pies fill the tabletops. Ate so much, I'm about to pop. This is why Christmas is my favorite time of year. Oh, oh, oh.
The family that prays together stays together. Bow our heads and remember why we're here. Let's take a family picture, gather around the tree.
Everybody smile, one, two, three.
Time for Tyler Perry's new movie.
There's no place I'd rather be than with you, my family. Even in the midst of all the cheer, let's remember everybody that ain't here.
Stand right here beneath the mistletoe. Standing in the powder sugar snow, your loving is the sweetest thing I know. This is why Christmas is my favorite time of year.
Oh, this is why Christmas is my favorite time of year.
Adrenaline junkie, have you ever wanted to throw an axe, try your hand at archery, or just smash a bunch of stuff to smithereens?
Oh.
Then come embrace the rush at Endorphin Factory, the number one demolition room in Texas. Family owned and action packed. Our factory is your playground. Blow off steam in our state-of-the-art demolition rooms. Hit bullseyes on our interactive archery targets, or just grab an axe and start throwing. Whatever creative outlet you choose, you're sure to have a smashing good time. Come release your stress and book your next rage room experience at Endorphin Factory for the thrill of a lifetime. Book your appointment today at EndorphinFactoryUSA.com.
Life is a runaway, running out every day. You can take a bow, but you can love it anyhow. I know you're scared of heights, but take the jump anyway. And you won't regret it, no. Cause there's a passion moving at the speed of light. We're fighting the challenge of troubles deep inside. Every nation standing side by side. They don't mind giving.
All right. Good morning to everybody that is listening to us on this morning. I want to thank y'all that are listening to us on Facebook Live, my personal page, my Facebook page, listening to our YouTube channel. Thank all of y'all, and also all of y'all that are listening to us on We Talk Radio on the Shine Lord program. I want to thank y'all for tuning in again. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, and I am so excited to have you joining us again here at the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church online. That's right, online. And I want to thank you for spending just a small segment of your morning with us on today. And I am so excited about this new series that we're getting ready to start. I'm super excited about that because this series reflects the season that we're in. It's all about the season. And we're going to talk about that as we get into our message here. And I'm just going to just let go and let God. And as long as we need to be here, you know, I'm going to be obedient to the Father. And we're going to be here as long as we need to be here, praying for those that have experienced loved ones that are lost, that have lost loved ones in the Kentucky area, the storms out there that have claimed the life of so many people. Our hearts and our prayers are with you, and we just pray for God's comfort during this time. And anybody that is experiencing anything, not just in that area, but anywhere across the globe on today, our hearts are with you. We love you. We're praying for you, and we definitely, definitely pray for God's comfort in this time of need as well. But as I talked about this being the season for giving, right? It's season for giving. And it's not just during Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, not just that a triad of holidays, but giving should be a lifestyle. Giving should be a lifestyle. And with that being said, I want to put up a slide here. I want to talk to you about something here. We've got a first slide here. I want to talk to you about a partnership that we have established here at the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. I hadn't had a chance to get with our board on this here or anyone. So this is breaking news, if you will, to everyone. And I just want to thank you for giving us this time to talk about it, because it's all about relationships. It's all about building partnerships. And we're going to talk about that a whole lot as we move into the 2022 year. But Soil Church is a proud supporter of Operation Care International. And this is what your tithes and your offerings have allowed us to be able to do, to be able to support a good cause, to be able to help share in the vision of someone else, and to be able to be a blessing to the people of God that are in need. And I had the wonderful privilege to sit down with the founder of this international operation here. They are a worldwide operation here. And the founder's story touched me so much with Justin. I just want to share a little bit about that with you here. She's originally from the Philippines. And when her family relocated to the United States years and years ago, her mother opened her door and just started feeding homeless people in the local community. She created an in-house soup kitchen, if you will. She had the ability. She knew what it was like when they came over to the United States, and they knew what it was like to not have a whole lot. And so I always gravitated toward her mother's heart to be able to give when you had the opportunity to give. And so she opened up her home and fed a lot of the homeless people in the local community. And when she was a little girl here, her mother was feeding the homeless here. She had an unfortunate encounter with one of the homeless people, and it turned into an altercation. And this homeless person, and she shares this story here, literally slapped her in the face. And it was a physical assault. And what that did was it rubbed her the wrong way. And at that point, she lost her passion for helping the homeless. As a matter of fact, it went from passion to pain. And because of that pain, she wanted absolutely nothing to do with homeless people. She had a hard heart, kind of like Pharaoh, had a hard heart towards that group of people. And then as she grew older in her life, and she had gotten married, and unfortunately, her husband had passed away, and she dealt with the pain of losing her husband. And so with dealing with all the pain, and she was getting ready to really go to, she found God during that situation, and she began to ask God, what do I do with all this pain that I have? What am I supposed to do with all this pain that I have? And she began to continue to ask God, continue to seek God. And eventually, he had her to look at this bridge and look at a group of homeless people. that are under this bridge. And he began to speak into her heart and her spirit about what her mother used to do. She wanted no part of it. She was still in deep pain. She wanted absolutely nothing to do with the homeless, all because of that encounter that she had years ago. It developed a spiritual callus on the inside of her. But as God continued to show her and to speak to her, that pain began to turn into passion once again. That pain began to turn into passion. And from that point on, it began to develop into something special. And then years and years, fast forwarding years and years and years, what began to happen was she began to use that as a story, as a platform, and she began to build a wonderful platform off of that. So we have Operation Care because of that. And she used her pain and turned her pain into passion. And that's so she shared it with me, and I just thought it was a wonderful thing. And thanks to your tithes, thanks to your offerings, we are able to be a proud supporter of that particular story. You guys give me just 1 second here. I'm understanding I'm going in and out. Bear with me just 1 second. Let me try something here. All right. You guys let me know if you can hear me. Give me a thumbs up if y'all can hear me okay now. We just got some minor technical difficulties, but you know we're not going to allow the enemy. Not going to allow the enemy. Thank you, sir. I appreciate our IT team that is always Johnny on the spot, because what we want to make sure, because listen here, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. And you cannot hear. You cannot feed your faith if you cannot hear. So I am so thankful for you, sir, for making sure that we are crispy and clear to out there to those that need to hear. So, all right, we're back in the sink here. Now, thank you all for your tithes and your offerings. And that's what we do here. We want to be able to be a blessing. If we're blessed, we want to be able to be a blessing, and we want to be able to help God's people wherever they are. So I've been telling you, if you've been following our ministry here, you've heard me say that there is some significance about certain numbers in the Bible. We've talked about that. There's a significance about numerical numbers, not the book of numbers, but actually numerical numbers in the Bible. For instance, the number 3 is significant because it has many significant meanings, such as the Holy Deity or the Holy Trinity, the Holy Deity of God, which that being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, the number 3 is significant because Jesus died and he rose on the 3rd day with all the power and the glory. And also we understand that Jesus also had an inner circle. He had 12 disciples, but out of that group of 12, he had 3 that were considered to be his inner circle, made up of Peter, James, and John. And those were the group that he felt closest to. And he could share some things kind of behind the scenes, if you will, with that particular group as well. And there's something special about the number 3, because 3 represents a wonderful number. And you can go on and on and on and on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go on and on and on throughout the Bible and look at the significance of the number 3. But for today, as we embark on this series, and again, I don't know how soon we're going to be on or how long we're going to be on this series. We're going to be here until God says that we got it, that we've talked about what we needed to, we understand what we need to understand, but we're going to go to school today. This is probably not going to be a typical type of sermon. We have to put on our scholastic hats here because I want to teach a lesson, and you have to be able to process this because we're going to involve some math in this series here. We're going to talk about some things, and of course, we're going to feed your spirit, but I want you to be patient with me. Don't click off and leave or whatever the case, because God delivers messages in a lot of different ways. So be patient as we dive into this here with me, okay? And I appreciate that. And also, as you can see right there, feel free to give into this ministry. You don't have to wait until after the service. With today's technology and things at our fingertips, right? You can give at any time. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, running over. Men will give unto your bosom. The more you give, the more you receive. Let's continue to be a blessing. Partner with me so that we can be a blessing to help change this world. Today, I want to spend a little bit of time as we set the foundation of our message here talking about the number 7. The number 7. During the creation, in the book of Genesis here, God rested on the 7th day after his work was done. This signifies that the number seven being significant as the number of completion. Okay. Some of us understand the number of seven also being the number of perfection as well, but we're going to talk about the number seven being related to the number of completion. The number seven is significant because Elisha, if you remember in the Old Testament, right? The left hand, right? The right hand, the left hand being the Old Testament, okay? Elisha told Naaman, okay, to go and wash himself in the Jordan River, the same river that Jesus will be baptized in the Jordan River seven times. The number seven is certainly significant. And if he did that, that his flesh would be restored and that he would be cleansed. But John, okay, in the New Testament over here, John, one of Jesus's 12 disciples, okay, that same guy that was a part of the inner circle, the number three, that same guy that was a part of the inner circle, right, of Jesus here, he has a unique way of explaining who Jesus is in John 1 and 14. And he records this with saying that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He was the Word of God that became flesh. And this means that in the spiritual realm, this is where the Word became connected to the Word. In the spiritual realm, Jesus was the Word. And then the natural, he became flesh. Okay, stay with me on that right there. Because in the beginning was the Word, but then John explains to us that the Word eventually became flesh. And not only did it become a flesh, okay, better known as he, not just it, but he, okay, the Word is God, God is the Word, right? So not only did he become flesh, but he dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. I'm going to say, because John 1 and 14, think about that. We're going to talk about the number 14, but I just want to give you a quick tidbit. The number 14 is made up of two components of the number seven, seven times two being 14. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But just think about that. As Jesus was the Word that became flesh, Word, the spiritual realm, flesh, you look at that. That's a numerical two, seven times two. And then you get John mentioning this in what verse? 14. Stay with me there. These numbers are something else when you understand the Bible. Okay? So the significance of the Word becoming flesh is that there is a common connection between the natural and the spiritual, the natural being one, the spiritual being two. You multiply the two of those and you get verse number 14. I hope I'm not putting anybody to sleep, but those that love math, oh, you all about this. You all about that life. You all about that life. Y'all just stay with us here because we're going somewhere with this here. I want to just real quickly here, the Word that became flesh so that he could dwell among us. I want you to understand what that really means. He dwelt among us. He became flesh. Jesus downgraded his stature to just to dwell among us. He walked in the sands of this earth. He drank the water that we drank. He saw the mountains that we see. He walked among this land. He was baptized in the Jordan River. I want you to understand the significance of him dwelling among us as we lay the foundation of this series. The natural and the spiritual came together, and this allowed Jesus to dwell among us. Out of the entire holy deity or the Holy Trinity, the Son, the only begotten Son, is the only function out of the holy deity that became flesh and dwelt among us. I could get into the book of Genesis when God said, Adam, where art thou? That was Jesus that was talking to Adam because he was the Word that became flesh. But then Jesus has this birth that takes place, and we're going to talk about that as well. So if Jesus, if we celebrate Christmas, and thank you, Holy Spirit, if we celebrate Christmas and Jesus was born, then how could he have also been the one that said, Adam, where art thou? Because he's there all the time. Jesus is omnipresent. The Lord is omnipresent. Okay? And as we know that he's there at the beginning and the end, he's the Alpha and the Omega. Don't try to wrap your mind too much about it too much, but just know that the Word is real. And that Jesus has always dwelt among us. But what I want us to understand here, the only begotten Son is the only function that became flesh and dwelt among us based upon the three functions of the Holy Spirit. So let's do a little bit of math for you math buffs out there, some of you business people out there that like math. Let's do a couple of calculations here as we continue to lay the foundation of our message. And we're going somewhere. Don't click off and leave. Just hang tight. We're going somewhere with this here. And we're going to line up with where we want to talk about and what God wants to say to us on this morning. Jesus was flesh and is spirit. And those are two components. And the number seven represents the number of completion. And what I want us to know is those two completions represent that Jesus having two completions. He was the Word that became flesh, which means that there was a fleshly side. There's a spiritual side, those two components. That means that he had a completion in the flesh, and he also has a completion in the spiritual. Where are you going with this, Pastor Glenn? Stay with me here. I'm glad you asked. Stay with me here. This means that his completion in the flesh found in the book of John, where he says he uttered his last word saying, "It is finished." And the book of Revelations 21, another component of seven. Okay, in the book of Revelations chapter 21, John states as God was revealing, that's what Revelations is what was revealed to John in the coming days, okay? It's what was revealed to John in the coming days. John states that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, which indicates the current heaven and the current earth have a completion date. Thus meaning the current kingdom will have an end date. That's what we mean by two end dates as it relates to Jesus. So the number seven twice, or seven plus seven equals 14. And the number 14 has a multiple of seven. So this means that 14 in the Bible means double completion. The number 14 means double completion. So let's tie all of this together here as we begin to lay the foundation. So Matthew 1 and 17, right, sums up the genealogy of Jesus, and he as he identifies that from Abraham to David was 14 generations. It's right there in the Bible. You can read it. And then he identifies from David to the exile of Babylon was 14 generations. And then from the exile of Babylon to the coming of the Messiah was 14 generations. So there are three different sections of 14 generations before it gets down to the coming of the Messiah. How about that? So we have used two, we have used three, we have used seven, and we have used 14. All to get down to the point that we're going to talk about on today. So as we're talking about the genealogy of Jesus, we're also talking about the numbers 7 and 14. And I want to set the foundation of our message today, because as we begin to talk about who saw this Jesus coming, the Jesus that was going to perform miracles, the Jesus that was going to interact with the flesh, the Jesus that was going to have an impact and long-standing impact on our lives on today, that Jesus that came is found in Isaiah 7 and 14. And if you're looking at the book of Isaiah 7 and 14, as you see it on the screen right now, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive a bear son and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." It should call his name Emmanuel. And what I want us to know on today, as we get ready to step into our series on today, our message on today, as you see it on the screen, is Emmanuel part one, the prophecy. Emmanuel part one, the prophecy. Let us go into a moment of prayer. Spirit of living God, Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful word. Lord, we thank you for just aligning things and setting things up so that we can see that even as the Bible is constructed, there is strategy in the word. There's strategy in book, chapter, and verse. And as you talk about things, Lord, as you help us to understand things, reveal your mysteries and your signs to us, Lord, as we grow into this, because this is not just a typical Christian sermon, Lord. This is not just a typical Christmas sermon, Lord. I want us to understand that the Bible is so intentional. The Bible is so strategic. The Bible is so connected, Lord. And as we continue to grow in you, Father God, you're going to continue to reveal the things that you need to reveal to us so that we can understand. And the more we grow in you, Father God, the more we understand your word, Father God, you're going to be able to just make more practical sense to us, Lord. As your humble servant, Lord, pour into me, Lord, the practicalities of everything that you need for us to know and understand, and not just know that Christmas is just Christmas, but to really understand your true strategy and why you came, who you came for, why you died, and the benefits that we receive from it all. In the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to again thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning here as we get ready to talk about this word. I am so super excited about it all, and I'm just very thankful that God has chosen us to be able to articulate and break this word down for such a time as this. Now, speaking of Isaiah 7 and 14, it's no coincidence that God used the factors of the number 7 when first using or first indicating the coming of the Messiah. 7 and 14, both of those are factors of the number 7. So Isaiah 7 and verse number 14 is now laying the foundation of what is to come. A little bit about Isaiah. Isaiah is known as that eagle-eye prophet. And he became famous for that because, remember, he was the one prophet that God had chosen to be able to speak of the coming Messiah. And he gave this prophecy here in Isaiah 7:14, roughly 700, there's a number component of 7, 700 years before the natural birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is indeed something about the number 7. In chapter 7, verse 14, 700 years before this birth takes place. It just amazes me, the strategy and how strategic our God is. So I want us to understand, but given this prophecy, he was given a specific name to use, because he didn't call him Jesus. He didn't even call him the Messiah. In the New King James Version, as we read it, he would describe the purpose of the coming king. And at this time, because he would use the name Emmanuel, what God wanted us to understand, he wanted the people to understand the purpose of the coming king. Not just he was just a king that was coming or anything along those lines, but he wanted us to understand the function and understand the purpose of the coming king. In other words, he was coming with intentional work to do. That's right. He was coming with intentional work to do. He didn't leave the heavenly realm to come down to earth just to hang out with us, just to give us a high five and to say, hey, what's up? What's happening? Or whatever the case. That's not why he dwelt among us. He came here with work to do. God, ladies and gentlemen, expects us to be intentional. God expects us, as he sent us down here to dwell among this earth, to live this earth. The very first assignment that he gave all of us was to be fruitful and to multiply. This is why I started off by using numerical terms here to help us to understand God expects production. God expects us to produce. God expects us to not just live or take up a pew or take up some space around here, but he expects us to be intentional. And he expects us to do what he has in fact called us to do. But let's talk about why God chose to use the name Emmanuel. What is the meaning of the name Emmanuel? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Emmanuel is a Hebrew name, which means God with us, or God is with us. Not that he used to be with us, not that at one point in time he was with us, but he is with us today. Now, as we get ready to put our first slide up here, I want you to see this first slide. Before something can manifest, it has to be spoken into existence. I'm going to say that again. Before something can manifest, it has to be spoken into existence. This is why the power of the tongue is so very important. You remember earlier this year, we talked about that, the power of the tongue, and how James, the younger brother of Jesus from Joseph and Mary's union, remember, James had talked about you can speak life and death with the power of the tongue. That's how strong it is. That's how powerful it is. We have a whole series based on the power of the tongue, but this is why the tongue is so very important. This is also why being in alignment with God is also so very important. Because our next slide here, as you read it, it's saying that when you are in position to do or say what God needs for you to do, he will use you just because you are in position. I'm going to read that again. We're going to leave that up just for a little bit longer because I want y'all to get it. I want you to snap a photo of it or whatever you need to. And these notes and these slides that we give you, this is for your spiritual education, ladies and gentlemen. And all of your getting, we want you to get understanding. And I want this to process, and I want this to be something that's tangible for you. Thursday, you can use this. Friday, you can use it. Monday, you can use it. Tuesday, you can use it. Next year, you can use this. And I want you to continue to feed on these notes that we give you. And I'm going to read this again. It says, when you are in position, okay, when you're in position to do or say what God needs for you to do, he will use you just because you are in position. How many of us have received blessings in our lives just because we were in position? How many of us received the benefits because we were at the right place at the right time? If you're a football or a basketball person, right, any team sport, how often was somebody that was in the right position used to be able to score a point? Or they were in the right position and they were used to be able to make a great defensive play. It's all about being in the right position. And when God sees you in the right position, he can now call your play so that you can execute on behalf of the plan that he has for you to execute. So because Isaiah was in alignment with God, he was used to be the voice of a generation. And I'm going to say that again, because Elijah was in alignment with God. Alignment with God. That means he was connected with God. That means he was seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And because of that, he was used to be a voice of a generation. What I want us to understand here is we never know when God will need to use us. We never know when God will need us to speak something on his behalf. This is why we should, again, I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because you never know when God will need you to do something or to say something. I'm thankful that I was in position to be able to hear the story of Operation Care. And because I was in position to sit down and talk to that founder, we're now able to participate in the vision that the founder has to be able to help serve the people of God. But what I want us to understand here, because you never know when God will need you. You never know when God will need your voice, when he will need your strength, when he will need your smile, when he will need you to do something here. So you have to make sure that you do everything you can to be in position and in alignment with God. And as we put our next slide up here on this morning, I want us to know our minds need to be in Christ so that we can clear out the clutter and welcome in his presence. Our minds need to be in Christ so that we clear out the clutter and welcome in his presence. His presence. There is a song that we sing about, welcome into this place. Welcome into this place. We want to welcome God. We want to make sure that we're connected with him. We want to make sure that we're aligned with him. His presence is always there, but it is up to us to make sure we welcome it in. Folks, this is why we ain't got time for gossip. This is why we don't have time for bickering and complaining. This is why we don't have time to entertain the small foxes in our lives, and we don't have time for the drama or the nonsense. God may need to call your number, and he may need to use your voice. He may need to use you to speak something on behalf of him, but you cannot do that if you're not in alignment with God. God just may need you, like Isaiah, to be the voice of a generation. God just may need you to speak life into something or someone that may be dying. God just may need you to encourage someone that's down, and God just may need you to be the salt and light in an area of darkness and blandness. We have to make sure that we're in position to be used by God. What if he needs you to speak a prophetic word that is so strong, that is so potent, that your spirit cannot deny the fact that it came from him? This is what Isaiah was. He was in alignment with God because he was in position to speak a prophecy that would be 700 years in the making. What are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that we can learn from Isaiah about his prophecy of the coming Messiah? Okay, his prophecy of Emmanuel. What can we learn about this prophecy, and how can it benefit us in our lives on today? What I want us to know here is we put our first slide, or our next slide up rather. God did a lot of moving around before he sent Jesus to dwell among us. Think about that. This is one of the things we can learn from Isaiah being in position 700 years before this entire thing unfolded, before it came into fruition. God did a lot of moving around before he sent Jesus to dwell among us. As I talked about earlier, you look in the book of Matthew, as we're talking about the genealogy of Jesus and how many generations it took before Jesus actually came into fruition and dwelt among us. A lot of moving around. When God gives you something in your heart, such as a vision or a dream, don't rush it. Let him continue to move some things around. We had a dynamic board meeting last week of a Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, our board here. And as we continue to grow and connect and build our foundation of this team, what I love is how we begin to come together as a team and share ideas. And maybe not everything is going to come into fruition as fast as we want, but we're laying that foundation. And we're going to make sure that we hear the voice of God and allow him to continue to order our steps. And when the season is right for certain things to manifest, that's when the season is just going to be right. God is moving some things around. God has to reorchestrate and redirect, and he's being the conductor of everything in our life. I have a message that I like to preach about God being the orchestral director of our lives. And he's got the string section. He's got the horn section. He's got the percussion section, and how everything and its different function is over there doing the different things. The brass section is blowing, and then you got the strings that are playing, and then you've got your woodwind section that's playing, and then you've got your percussion section that's playing, and how everything comes together to put together one beautiful orchestral piece. That is how our God works, as he's moving things around. Our next slide says here, if you are 100% convinced that God gave it to you, don't be afraid to speak it into existence. This is something else that we can learn from Isaiah. This is another thing that we can benefit from the prophecy of Isaiah. If you are in fact 100% and you know without the shadow of a doubt that God gave it to you, don't be afraid to speak it into existence. Speak faith, ladies and gentlemen, into that dream. into that vision and stay close to God so that he can, in fact, order your steps. Here's something else we can learn from the prophecy of Isaiah as we see our next slide up right now. Know that whatever God says, it will not return unto him void. Know that whatever God says, it will not return unto him void. The formation of this world did not take place until God said, let there be light. Let there be structure. Remember, the world was, it was without shape. It was void. It just was. It was just imagine, just mass, maybe even energy or whatever it was. I wasn't there at the beginning, but I can just imagine what the world without shape and it was void and dark and everything. And it was what it was. It actually wasn't, but it became when God said, let there be light. And he began to speak different things into existence. So whatever God says, have confidence in knowing that whatever he says, it will happen. Here's something else I want us to know, that God will speak. God will speak with a prophetic tongue and power, and he will speak directly to us through someone, or he will use something. You see the slot that says God timing is not our time. And I want you to hold that note here, because I threw a little monkey wrench on my guy here, and that's okay. Sometimes when God gives me things before these messages start, I put them in there and we'll get back to that slot. But God will speak with a prophetic tongue of power, and he will speak directly or directly through someone. So he'll either speak directly to you what he needs for you to know, what he needs for you to understand, or he will use a voice, somebody that was in alignment with him, like Isaiah was, someone that was in alignment with him to speak that to you. Okay, all a prophecy is a revelation from God. It is God's voice. It is something that is being spoken directly from the Father. And this is what Isaiah did when he spoke of the coming Messiah by the name of Emmanuel. And now with saying all of that, and we know the time that it took. So now the next slide that we have up right now, go back to God's timing is not our timing. God's timing is not our timing. Just because he spoke it last week doesn't mean that it is going to happen this next week. When God gives you something, it may not manifest until several generations, maybe even after you're long and gone. So don't be discouraged if you don't see it right away. Or don't be discouraged if you don't even live to be able to see it. But the one thing that you can stand on is that if God said it, it is definitely going to happen. If God said it, it is definitely going to manifest. So whatever God has told you in your life, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how tough it seems. I don't care how impossible it may look like just because of what may be right in front of your eyes right now. You better take it to the bank that if he says it, it is in fact going to happen. Isaiah was chosen to speak life into the coming Messiah by the name of Emmanuel. And this did not come until God says it is time for it to come. It is time for it to be spoken. It is time to now make some things happen, because I needed to be spoken into the earthly realm first. Now I can start moving some things all around, because God is a God of decency and he's a God of order. He's a strategic God. Again, that's why we talked about these numbers, to let you know God does nothing by mistake. Everything is on purpose. Everything is intentional. But I do want us to know there is a thief, and a thief does come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will disrupt some things because he has access to us. He has access to our minds. He has access to our tongues. He has access to some things. So sometimes the enemy will come in and to kill, steal, and destroy. But when we give it to God, what God will do, just like the earth was without void, thank you, Holy Spirit, just like the earth was without form and it was void, God will take that situation which was broken and he will mold it. He's the potter. We are the clay. He will mold that situation. He will mold us and he will shape it back together again. The one thing that I don't like about the story of Humpty Dumpty is Humpty Dumpty had what we call a great fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But what I want us to know, if Humpty Dumpty was serving the ultimate king, I don't care how many cracks he would have had in his shell. I don't care how much yolk would have spilled out. This king of kings would have put Humpty Dumpty back together again, because that's what he does for each and every one of us. Regardless to how it looks, if God said it, it's going to come to pass. Regardless to what your situation is, if God said it, it's going to pass. God gave the first prophecy in the history of mankind, and he spoke things into existence, and they began to happen. So when God says it, that process did not change. When God speaks it into you, know that the same process that it took for the earth to come into fruition is the same thing that's going to happen when he speaks something in to your life. This is why we're talking about the prophecy. This is why we're talking about the importance of the prophecy, because you have to know the background before you can get into the meat and the potatoes. And this is what I want us to understand on today. That during this time, as Isaiah spoke about Emmanuel, God was letting the people at that time know that they would one day see him in the flesh. What I want to talk about right now is, why is it important for God to dwell among us? If Emmanuel means God is with us, the God with us, why is it important for him to dwell among us? Let's take a look at our next slide here. We're going to talk about that. Why is it important for God to dwell among us? Because God knows the only way we have a chance to make it is with his help. The only way we even have a chance to make it is with his help. Had he not come to dwell among us, the spiritual realm would not be able to line up with the natural realm. And this is why Jesus said, I am going to send a helper. My completion date is coming to an end, but I am going to send a helper by the name of the Holy Spirit to continue. Because now I can relate to what you're going through. Now I can understand what it is that you're experiencing. I'm going to absorb all of these experiences on earth, so now we can connect the natural with the spiritual. This is why it's important for God to dwell among us. The next slide you see, why is it important for God to dwell among us? In order for him to receive us, he had to be connected to us. And when I say had, I'm using that as past tense, because that was during the time, okay, that he dwelt among us, the word becoming flesh. So why is it important for God to dwell among us? In order for him to receive us, he had to be connected to us. Here's our next slide that I want us to see. Why is it important for God to dwell among us? In order for us to have an example of how to live and why to live. Why is it important for God to dwell among us? In order for us to have an example of how to live and why to live. What's your why? That's a rhetorical question that I want you to let simmer into your spirit. What is your why? What's your purpose in life? What is it that God has laid on your heart so much that you need to speak into existence and allow God to move some things around so that it can come into fruition? What is your why? You have the how if you continue to read the word of God, but you have to seek God to know and to understand your why. Here's our next slide up on this morning. Why is it important for God to dwell among us? It's in order for us to have an example of how to live and why to live. I'm sorry, we said that again. I got a little twisted up here. But I do want to go back to something about what's your why. What's your why? Let that sink down into your spirit. Let that continue to manifest. When the Holy Spirit drops something heavy on me right now, that means that somebody has been wrestling with this question. What's my purpose, Lord? What do you need for me to do, Father God? What is it that maybe I've been afraid to be able to bring into fruition? What am I afraid to speak life into? What am I afraid to be able to know that I can do it? What do I need to know and understand? What do I need to know and understand about this world, this life, this life that you're giving me? What am I supposed to do with my life? When you are in alignment with God, and when you stay close to God, he's going to reveal that why to you in your life. And the moment that you have that why, don't be afraid to prophetically speak it into existence. That was Isaiah's why. He was used to be able to speak of the coming Messiah. He was used to be a voice of a generation to tell of what the Messiah was going to do. And this, again, allowed God to move some things around. It allowed God to then be able to now go to work on his behalf, move some things around, clear out some clutter, and to be able to now set things up so that Jesus can come down from heaven and dwell among us. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten away from what the focus of this season is all about. There's nothing wrong as we move into the Christmas season. There's nothing wrong with being festive, but let's don't get away from understanding that we have this season in which Jesus is the reason. If you remember last year around this time, I had a series as we were going into the Christmas season, and we talked about God did the ultimate act of love. He did the ultimate act of love when he gave his only begotten son. And then we talked about Jesus is the ultimate gift of love, and Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, my question for us on today as I get ready to close is, what are we giving today to signify this season? How are we mimicking what God did for all of us? What is our contribution to the reason for this season? Are we more concerned about supply chain issues and if the gift is going to arrive on time? Or are we more focused on the gift that keeps on giving, who is the ultimate gift of love? How can we be used, ladies and gentlemen, to give the greatest gift of all time? How can we be aligned in our lives with God to be used as a voice of a generation? How many people on your job can benefit from you being in alignment with God? How many people in your family can benefit from you being in alignment with God? How many people among your community can benefit from you being in alignment with God? How many people can you come in contact with and they receive the ultimate gift of love because of you being in alignment with God? Our last and final slide up is, have we positioned ourselves to be in alignment with God so he can speak to us, live through us, and meet us wherever we are? Have we positioned ourselves to be in alignment with God so he can speak to us, live through us, and meet us where we are? For this message today, I just wanted to leave some thoughts with us on this morning to give us some things to think about, especially as we move into this Christmas season. Have we allowed the message of this world to speak louder than the creator of this world? Have we become consumed by the world's message that we've turned down God's message? When you know that Emmanuel is still with us today and that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, we can rest in full confidence knowing that the God of all gods, that the King of all kings is right by our sides, and he will never leave us alone. Somebody out there on today needs to know that Jesus has always been with you. He's with you now, and he's with you tomorrow. You may feel that you are alone on today, but I want you to understand that God is with us. He always has been, he is today, and he always will be. He sticks closer than any brother. He sticks closer than any sister. He has a relationship with you because before you entered into the womb of your mother, he foreknew you. God is with you, and he will always be with you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to encourage you. He is there to uplift you. Somebody needs to know that Emmanuel has not gone anywhere. Emmanuel dwells with us on today. Somebody may have moved away from Emmanuel. And although he's dwelling with us and he's the God with us, maybe you moved out of alignment with him. And if that's you on today, I want to say a prayer because I want you to get back connected with the God that is with us. Heavenly Father, for that man, that woman, that child that has moved away, they asked for their share and they went out and they ended up in the bottom of the pig pen. But Lord, they have come to their self. That prodigal son, that prodigal daughter has come to their self, and they need to know that you were there all the time. You will never leave us, Lord. You will never forsake us, Lord. Yes, things are happening in this world today, but Lord, you're there and it doesn't catch you by surprise. Lord, help them to understand, Lord, that all they have to do is just confess of their sins, believe that you died and that you rose, and that they believe in you, Father God, and they are saved, and that you will come running back to them with open arms as you did the prodigal son, and that we can celebrate because the child has come back to the Father. For that person out there, I want you to say something after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Clear out the clutter in my mind. Take away the pain. Lord, I believe that you died. I believe that you rose. And you rose on the third day because we love that number three. And you got up with all the power, with all the glory. And I thank you for dwelling among us so that I could have a chance. I thank you for dwelling among us so that I can know how I'm supposed to live. Lord, I thank you for dwelling among us so that I have access to salvation. And I ask that you be with me every day of my life. Help me to continue to live a life for you. Help me to not stray away, Lord, but if I do, to know that you're with me. And I thank you, Lord, for being the Savior of my life. And I believe in you, and I thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. If that was you and you have dedicated your life to God, I want to just clap for you and I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God that you have reconnected with Emmanuel, the God that is with us. And I want to let you know this is a team that never loses. We are a team of believers, and we want to be there with you. We want to coach with you. We want to just connect with you. And if you want to, shoot me a note, as you can see on the screen right now, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. It goes directly to me, and I'd love to just share some dialogue with you, or you can DM me on Facebook like a lot of y'all do, and I love connecting with you. Send me a message here. I just want to stay connected with you. I'll be praying with you here. Our group will be praying with you here. Our church will be praying with you here. And we just want to see you win. That's all we want. We want what God wants for you. That's our want. We want what God wants for you. That's our want. Now we've come to a time of our service that everybody can participate in. That's right. It's giving time. But before we do that, there's another slide I want to put up for those of you that may not have heard the first part of our service here. Soil Church is a proud supporter of Operation Care International, and we want to encourage you to get involved with your local communities, wherever you are, whatever country that you're in. If there is a local community that can benefit from the blessings that you receive from God, go to work. and allow God to use you to be a blessing. We are a proud supporter of Operation Care. I love sitting down with the founder of that organization. Her story is such a wonderful story. And I'm just thankful because what they do for the homeless is they position the homeless to line them up, to get them skills for job training and get them off their feet and to get them back into being productive citizens in our society. That's what ministry is all about, y'all. As I use Humpty Dumpty, we take the brokenness and we put it back together again with the help of God. And God needs us. He needs his people to be in position to be able to help put his people back together again. Okay, so as you can see here, there are some ways that you can give. There are some ways to be a part of that. There are some ways to be a blessing into this ministry here. As you see up on the slide right now, we've got the Givelify app. You can scan that QR code and it'll take you right to our Givelify page, or you can download Givelify, pull up Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We welcome your gifts. You can give to us on zelleinfo.soilchurch@gmail.com. Pull up that Zelle app. OK, there's an app on there. Download it from the Apple Store, your Play Store, whatever that, you know, what's that other phone, the Samsung, that Android phone, whatever that is. OK, pull that up. OK, pull up Zelle, download Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Let God do something with your seed. Let him do something with your seed. God will increase your giving. He will increase your seed. He will increase your harvest. And as you see in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, it says the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Let God do something with your seed. And right now we're going to pray over every seed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for every seed. We know for every seed, there is a need, and there's a need for every seed, Lord. Press down, shaking together, running over, Lord Jesus, with good measure. We thank you for every gift that is coming into this ministry so that we can impact our communities, Lord, so that we can do what you need for us to do, Father God. We're your servants, and we just want to be pleasing to you, Father God. I pray a hundredfold return over every seed, Lord. I pray for spiritual growth. I pray for physical growth, for health, for mental health, for physical health, for just completeness, Lord. And I just, in all ways, Lord, that you can just grow us, Lord, mold us, shape us, and increase in every area of our life. I speak it prophetically, Lord. Touch every seed, Lord. Manifest it, multiply it, use it for your ultimate purpose and your glory in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for your seeds. Thank you for joining us on this morning. I just want to say, next week we'll be back Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. God bless you. God keep you. May the Lord watch between me and thee and all the rest of that we used to say. Come back next week. We love y'all. We thank y'all. Have a fantastic Sunday, folks. We love you.
I don't know about you, but I just want the Lord endow me again. I don't know about you, but I just want him to pour it out on me, Jesus. The more of the Spirit. Because the Bible says after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. And I'm asking him tonight, endow me. I need the more.
got to go higher in your spirit
with the power.
To that next level, you may have to go through a little something. Watch me. You put that hand up there now. But I want all of y'all that don't mind going through the persecution in order to go to the next level in God. Just say, Lord, take me higher. Jesus, oh,
send it on down.
Come on, y'all, help me say it.
Send your anointing.
all know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday. And you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, beat me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, WeTalk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.WeTalkRadio.com.